Take our Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. It was the night of Thanksgiving, but I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting backwards, I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckon, the dark meat and white. But I fought the temptation with all of my might. Tossing and turning with anticipation, the thought of a snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodies galore. I gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles and carrots, beans and tomatoes. I felt myself swelling so plump, so round, till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. I crashed to the ceiling, floating into the sky with a mouthful of pudding and a handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, happy eating to all, past the cranberries, please. Kalita, thank you. All right, I thought it was actually very touching. It was just a poem that we kind of threw together, thinking of Thanksgiving. And it brought tears to the eyes. Right? No, Alex? No. All right. But there was three college guys that were stranded on a lifeboat. The ship had sunk. The three guys, there was a senior, a junior, and a freshman. They floated around for days without food and water, the senior and junior both looking at the freshman, thinking when they might eat him. It was a Dahmer moment. One afternoon, a bottle floated up to the boat. Men grabbed the bottle, and they pulled the cork, and a genie appeared and said, "I will grant you three wishes." The senior, filled with anticipation for the future, said, "I wish I could be in the ministry." Boom, right there. Senior, instantly in the ministry. The junior, kind of being sentimental, looked and said, "It's Thanksgiving. I wish I was home." Boom. Instantly. Junior was there. And the freshman looking around said, "Oh, I'm lonely. I wish my friends were here." Yes. And poof. The friends were back. That is our freshman thoughts this morning. I did think of another freshman thought. That was this. Chuck Smith of Woodbridge, Virginia, put this more appropriately about freshmen. His thoughts tumbled in his head, making and breaking alliances like sweatpants in a dryer without cling free. He actually wrote that, Chuck Smith in Woodbridge, Virginia. Russell Beedland in Springfield said John and Mary had never met. They were like two hummingbirds who also had never met. that's what she wrote, or that's what he wrote. Paul in Syracuse. Oh, here it was. Paul Kosak in Syracuse, New York, wrote this. They lived in a typical suburban neighborhood with picket fences that resemble Nancy Kerrigan's teeth. I wonder if she got mad. All right. I like this one. Paul Saborin of Silver Spring, I believe Colorado, wrote this. McBride fell 12 stories, hitting the pavement like a hefty bag filled with vegetable soup. That's what he said. I thought, very vivid, very creative. Matthew chapter 23. If we would have our, looks like next Tuesday night, you're going to have your own version of this. We started something on our destination challenge trip. Maybe college could kind of take it over. We called it live karaoke, and it was just really neat. I'm thinking maybe with the carol thing, you could do your own live karaoke, and it's our version, Fairhaven version of a karaoke, and maybe you guys could do that. Just have a little bit of fun there. Couples doing, I Saw Mama. Favorite hymns of the faith, you know what I mean? Christmas, favorite Christmas, you know, jingle bell, or something like that, okay? But you might be able to try that, but we could do a rendition of things this morning, just to help us. If we called different couples up here, we won't do it yet. All right, we're thinking about it, but if we called different couples up here, and we had them publicly tell each other, I love you. You know what I mean? Publicly. And then we could judge the sincerity of it. You know what I mean? Judge the sincerity of that. All right? I would bet that we would sense in some people some hypocrisy. All right? We might sense some. In the high school, we may be able to, there's some guys that are having issues, and we could bring a couple of them up, and they could do the same thing. You know, it's just, all right, some of us are one, you never see them apart. You know what I mean? Chris, are we thinking of anybody? You know what I mean? Are we thinking of anybody? Anybody here? All right, but just, we're just trying to help people out. Would there be some insincerity? All right. If we brought up five glasses, and inside one of the glasses we had all that most refreshing beverage, 7-Up. It's kind of like Alka-Seltzer. You know what I mean? It's either that. Aldi's has a version of it too. I don't know what that's called, but Aldi's has a version of their own Alka-Seltzer brand pop. If we brought up five glasses and we put one of them had 7-Up, the other four, we just put some simple things like bleach, rubbing alcohol, vinegar, just things that are just so common. And then we had a volunteer come up, maybe one of our high school buddies. We'd have one of them come up and say, choose a glass. They would be very concerned about what? They would want the real thing. Oh, that's Coke, isn't it? Or something like that. Oh, sorry. All right. They would want the real thing, though. They would want to make sure that what's inside is truly 7-Up. Because there's nothing like drinking a good dose of bleach. You know what I mean? There's just nothing like it. It cleans the insides out. It really does. But there's nothing like it. All right, I'm sure that some of you have made the mistake of maybe having a little vinegar in your mouth before. Have you ever done, you ever have a cold sore? And there's alum. Have you ever done that? Anybody know what alum is? All right. Sometimes try this. It is so much fun, especially it's just a thrill. Okay. Sometimes try this. You have a cold sore. Take your finger, wet it, and alum is a powder. Okay. It's a powder. I've tried this before just for fun. All right. And you take that alum. Because somebody, it was actually this older person, and you would think, you know, the wives thing says, oh, I know how to fix cold sores. What you do is you take a little alum and you go right on it. And I'm serious. You will run like crazy, jump, kill somebody. All right. You will do anything to relieve the stress that just happened by putting alum on that cold sore. All right. It really does make you think about other things. All right? It really does. I was not thinking about the cold sore anymore. I was picturing that old person not in a casket anymore. All right? I was thinking all kinds of evilness upon them. All right? But if we... that had to do with the vinegar in the mouth. I don't know if you knew that. All right? But if we had the five glasses up here, we would want to make sure that we pick the right one. All right, this morning we're going to look at an idea. I entitle it Fundamental Pharisees. Fundamental Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23. Let's start in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. And this is what he said, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Here we have Jesus describing, starting into a discussion and a warning to the disciples and to some of the others saying, hey, watch out for the Pharisees. And this is what I'm going to instruct, and hopefully we will come to a conclusion today and look at ourselves and say, am I a fundamental Pharisee? Do I have all the trappings on the outside? Do I have all the things on the outside that say, I am somebody that worships God? But on the inside, it's not there. Just like if we brought somebody up and said, hey, you know what? I want you to say, I love you. Right? It would just be like me bringing up Thomas Gunzenhauser right now and standing him right here and saying, I care about you. Oh, I'm sorry. We would all say, oh, what a hypocrite. He doesn't care about him. He wishes he was dead. And we would all say, amen and amen. Well, we would look at some people and they'd say, you know what, they're just being a hypocrite. It's just words. You know, we do that sometimes, don't we? Don't we do that? All right, have you ever gone up to somebody and maybe it's a relative or maybe it's mom and dad or maybe it's an authority and they're saying, oh, hey, would you do this? And you look, I'd love to. You're such a liar. You don't want to do that. You never even thought that you'd enjoy it. Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to go and do that thing that just I don't want to do, right? Oh, we just put that big front on. Or you come in. Oh, we've all done it. We've all done it. Well, we can't sit here and say we haven't done it. Somebody walks in and then they come up and say, hey, what do you think? Oh, that is you. It is so you. All right. They leave and, ah, what in the world? All right. We've all said things. All right. On the phone. All right, on the phone. Hey, I know you got to run. And I'll let you go. But what are you saying? Shut up! But I'm not wanting to let them go. I want to go. My wife used to get so mad. She tells this story. She used to get so mad at me with my mom. All right, but if you ever met my mom, she's a nice lady. Nice lady, but she's a typical mom, all right? They just go on and on and on. And she never, my wife has her down now to a T. She can tie 25 subjects in one run-on sentence, all right? I mean, it's like schizophrenic, Alzheimer's all together. It's unbelievable, okay? And you're just, And so when we first got married, my mom would call. She got so mad. She's like, you're supposed to honor your parents. All right? Because what I do, I get on, I'm like, yay, oh, it's mom. Hey, how you doing? And then I would set the phone down. I'd go do a couple things, come back, and I'd be like, oh, hey. She's like, are you listening? Oh, yeah. I'm telling you what. Hey, did you? Because it doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter what you said. It probably was covered anyways. All right? So you just say, yeah. Hey, yeah. Oh, and, yeah. And I shut it down, go do a bunch of things, come back. She's like, that is so rude. I said, all right. For the next 6 months, you're talking to her. You know what? My wife never, never, never complains anymore. All right? Never complains anymore. Because I'm telling you, man, it just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm always like, hey, oh, gotta let you go. I know you gotta go check on something somewhere. All right? But what about if we, you know, hey, stop by anytime. Yeah, right. All right. Maybe in your next life. Okay. See ya. Stop by anytime. Okay. Glad you're leaving. All right. We have all kinds of things that we say. All right. In the Bible here, the word hypocrite is used. And what's interesting, all right, do you know that Jesus Christ, as far as I can look, I looked it up, I tried to look in some concordances, tried to look up the word, and as far as I can find, Jesus Christ in the Bible is the only one that called someone hypocrite. All right, now the word is used sometimes, but Jesus Christ, and to me it's interesting because I think it says something to you and I, because he really does know us. He truly does know us, and he has the right to call us a hypocrite. He does have a right. Now, a lot of times, if we go around and we call somebody else a hypocrite, you know what? They can point it right back. Because all of us put on some fronts, don't we? All of us put on some, but Jesus Christ, everything according to Hebrews 4:13 is naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. When you come before Jesus Christ, the Word of God, he is able to open us up, fillet us, and say, uh-uh, no, that is not really what you meant. You see, sometimes we get into games of being a fundamental Pharisee. The word hypocrite, we come up with the word. It goes back to the Greek, hypocrisis, okay? And it basically means an actor under an assumed character. In medieval times, back in even the times I can remember going, we were there in Athens a couple of years ago. All right, we were taking a tour of walking around the Acropolis and going down to different things. And if you can remember, the Greeks, the Romans loved the stage. And they had this huge stage. They've restored it, and they have big names. They had, at that time, they'd have Pavarotti, and they had Placido Domingo, and they'd also get big concerts and things. And they'd bring them into this outdoor, 2,000-year-old amphitheater. And they'd put on concerts and plays. But one thing that they did is, and we've seen it, we've all seen the emblem for a theater or for stage acting, and it's half a face, right? Half a face. And that emblem came from this word, hypocrisis. And the reason is, it meant that when they were, a lot of times they wouldn't go and change. It would be the same actor. And what would happen is, they would be doing a part. They would reach down, pick up a face, put it in front, and their whole character would change. And everybody in the audience knew that, hey, you know what? There is now a new person. They have a new front. They are a hypocrite. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was trying to get across to the Pharisees and to his disciples, saying, that is what is wrong. What is wrong is when you pick up and you want to be something on the outside and it is just a front. It is not what is behind. That is a fundamental Pharisee. Can you imagine if we would, looking at something and doing some study on this, and someone kind of came up with a funny illustration. They said, what if we've all heard of, what is it, QVC or something? It's a QVC? I don't know. The shopping network. Right? Where you go on there and you buy. And they came up and they said, what if there was a Christian shopping network? And they came on and they said, oh, hey, you know what? Are you one of those Christians and you just have a hard time? You got lots of things to do. You got, and they go on and on and they say, right here, we have. And they came up with a couple ideas. They called it the Phenomenal Pious Palm Pilot. They said, do you just have so many things to do and you just don't have time to get your Bible reading in, do the prayer, be at Bible study, do soul winning? Well, hey, we got the Phenomenal Pious Palm Pilot. It automatically checks all those things off for you. That way you don't have to do them, but everybody that looks sees you're doing it. Then we would say, oh, that's silly. Then they came up with another one. They said, oh, you've all heard of Quicken. Yeah, to do your finances. Well, we have Slicken. You know what? You can give 2%. And Slicken will automatically show the church that you gave over 10%. Slicken can make you look like you gave more than you did. Now we'd all say, what in the world? Why would people do that? Well, you know what people do? People do. You know, this is what Jesus was saying. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said in verse, I think, 23. Look at verse 23. He says, won't you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, that's our word, for ye pay, what? Tithe of mint and anise and cumin. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Know what they did? They're out in their little, you know, garbage patch. They're out in their little cabbage patch there. Not the doll. The real one. And they got mint leaves. And they pick, have you ever seen a mint leaf? It's real tiny. They're like, one for me, two for me, three for me, four. I mean, they're little tiny leaves. One for Jesus. And they're going down, like, what in the world? Right? And cumin is a spice. Right? It's an Arab spice. Everybody had cumin. Nasty. What's up with that? Like Indian, like, alright, you got all the, you know, they put it on their donuts, put it in their coffee, put it in their whatever, you know, and you can smell it. It's like that big incense pot, you come in, all right. You can smell them a mile away. All right. But it's every 7-Eleven you walk into right there. You got the cumin spice. But here, I mean, can you imagine here? They got a pot and they're maybe harvesting it and they're putting theirs down and they put a little bit for Jesus. And that's what Christ says. Hey, you're measuring all these little tiny things out. And that's what we do sometimes. We're measuring every little thing out and we miss the whole point. And the whole point is that my heart should be devoted to God instead of nickel and diming God. Many years ago, I quit worrying about, well, how much am I really, really tithing? If I'm just tithing as a Christian, then I don't really care about God. It's all his anyways. And sometimes we play games with our money and we play games with all these things. And how much am I really giving them? I mean, they're asking a little too much of me. Well, who are you serving? What are you doing it for? Fundamental Pharisees. In this passage, Christ goes through, and I want to list a couple of these things out, and then we'll draw a conclusion. Look at a bunch of the things. We're just going to list them down real fast, all right? Have your Bibles open in chapter 23. Look at verse 2. Look what it says in verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in whose? Moses. What in the world? Can you imagine if you had a seat? It's just like David Kriegel here saying, let's put it in our vernacular. It's saying that, hey, David Kriegel wants to sit in Spurgeon's seat. Like, I'm like, what in the world? All right, little scrawny you. What, are you going to be smoking cigars too? Come on. All right, but anyways. We say, what? What's going on? You know, he shouldn't be doing that. But that's what the Pharisees want. The Pharisees were saying, I deserve this level. And that's what some of us want. All we're looking for is, where's my recognition? I should be at this position. You know what? Hypocrites demand others respect them. They demand it. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. What else do they do? All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, they observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and guess what? Do not. Hypocrites say one thing, do another. Look at verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens grievous to be borne. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They never follow their own demands either. They never follow. You know what? That does irritate me. I know that. I do not like it. And I'm really, I try to be, at least be sensitive to that. You know, I don't like it when you get above the rules or above your standards. Something wrong with that, isn't there? You know, just this morning, I was listening to the news, and did you hear that about Tiger Woods? They found that big voicemail. Oh, shocking. Oh, he's a cheater on his wife. Oh, and that's what, to me, I feel like that if I was Tiger Woods, not that it makes it right, but probably the person that's doing the story has had three wives himself. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, you cheater. Oh, hey, you know what? You know, I'm not going to be with you tonight. I've got to be with my other woman. All right. You know what? I've got to get back to my story. Here, honey. All right. And we're just like, what in the world? What hypocrisy. What hypocrisy. And we see that over and over in life today, don't we? People have this standard, and then when it comes to themselves, say, oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That was my spiritual beliefs. That was the church theology, but personally, I was a little less on that myself, and I've always been that way. It's amazing how people just kind of wiggle through that. No, you're a hypocrite. All right, you say one thing, do another. All right, look at verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. All right, well, now here it is. They, what do? They make broad their phylacteries. Everybody know what a phylactery is? All right? A phylactery, they say that there were six passages of Scripture. I had them somewhere. All right? Six passages of Scripture. And they took it literally. And so what they believed is that these passages should be worn because it says to keep them on the front of your mind or on the front of your head. So, all right, a lot of Orthodox Jews would make a little phylactery, and they would tie it, and it would actually be on the front of their head. Can you imagine? Like, oh, you know what? Michael, your sweatband has nothing. You know what I mean? Michael, he thought he was the first one to ever wear a sweatband around the head. You know what? Hey, he's just a fundamental Pharisee right there. He's got the big phylactery, except it's Nike. All right, right? Nike. All right? The Nike was not the first one that came up with phylacteries. All right? The Jews did that, and they would have a little piece of Scripture there. They also would, it said something about binding it on their arms, and on the inside of their arms, they'd wear it. Now, today, I have seen this. I've been in the Jewish communities, And Jewish communities, if they're Orthodox Jews, on the outside of their post, you will see a little thing. And you open it up and pull it out, and there's scripture written on it. It's a phylactery for the door. They said to bind it on the post of their door. Some Orthodox Jews still do it. All right, so guess what the Pharisees did? This is so retarded to me. All right, because you and I both can picture it. Except we don't, you know, we're sitting there reading. And I'm there. When I'm reading the Bible, I am about on the ground laughing, thinking about the dark Pharisee with bow right here. They make, what does it say? Broad there. Hey, whoa. And all the Jewish people are like, oh, whoa. Did you see his phylactery, man? It was huge. Like, what in the world? All right, that's what it was. They would wear, in fact, there is, and then it said, they make, all right, look what else it says in verse 5. They enlarge the borders of their garments. What this meant, if you were very righteous, there would be a certain color, I believe it was blue, that they would put on the bottom, and then they would put tassels around there, and it was supposed to keep you, it was showing that you were humble. So this says they broaden the borders. In fact, the rabbinical writings, listen to this, there was a guy, his first name was Ben, they're all Ben something, all right? But, sorry, Ben Rush. All right, but that's what they're all Ben something, okay? And so here is this, they have a record of one rabbi that he got into it so much that he sewed his borders so big that it was stuffed like a pillow. And it took another guy behind him to carry it. So here comes Pharisee Ben, all right, walking in, and another guy coming behind holding the broadened robe. What a joke! And everybody, wow. Look at the broadened robe. What's Christ saying? It's all silliness. It's silliness because hypocrites are show-offs. Hypocrites are show-offs. On and on this passage goes, but this is what we're going to do in verse 13. Look what the Bible then, there's all kinds of things that Jesus in this passage gives 8 woes to the Pharisees. Sometime look at them. But look at what he says. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What hypocrisy in all this passage is knowing the truth and not obeying the truth. And that's what some of us do. A fundamental Pharisee is somebody that knows the truth. You know what to do, but you won't do it. The religious leaders of that time knew the scriptures, but they did not live by them. They didn't care about living holy. They only cared about looking holy. Today, many sitting here know the Bible. You know what it means to be a Christian. But you want to look it and not live it. That's a fundamental Pharisee. Hypocrisy is knowing the truth and not obeying it. Hypocrisy is claiming Christ and not following Him. Is that you? Are you claiming our Savior? I couldn't, as I was thinking about it this morning, I couldn't help. We just got back playing a couple games, and I couldn't help because, man, I am still steaming. We played Boys Seminary last night, Louisville, Kentucky. It's the seminary, it is the preachers for the Southern Baptist movement. Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Southern Baptist Theological University is there in Louisville. T. DeWitt Talmadge, some of you may have read his sermons. He started it. It's unbelievable. The school, the university or the college has about 2,500 students. Seminary, I think 700-800. We're playing their preachers, their future preachers. And I'm telling you, the warm-up music alone would turn your stomach. I have never heard, it was the rap version of the church's One Foundation. That's what we call it. It was unbelievable how bad it was. All right, all the women are there. I mean, they had to jump from their steeple and Vaseline just to get into their pantsuits. All right. I mean, they're all right. Woo! Got into those. Oh, I guess I'm wearing these for a couple weeks until they rot off. All right. I mean, they just, I'm like, come on. All right. The music is horrible. No standards. Then we go right next door and there's windows all around. All right. And they're talking about swim times and it's not separate. They got family swim times. They got this swim time. I'm like, oh, that's not a family swim time. Oh, woo. Oh, all right. What? You can check out other wives? Duh. All right. And that is the Baptist. That is the Baptist. And they play their game. And then afterwards, let's meet together and pray. And then they pray. Oh, Lord. You know, thank God for our Savior, for the blood. You know what? You don't have the same Savior. You are a fundamental Pharisee. All you care about is looking one way on Sunday morning and having your church look one way on Sunday morning. And then all during the week you can do whatever you want. It's fundamental Pharisees. And that is what we face. And that's what comes into our lives. It's not about how we look. It's how we live. And it's living by the book. It's interesting. I remember reading this many years ago and then I looked it up. And it was true. In Long Beach, California, many, many years ago, I think it's at least 10 years ago, they restored it. There's a boat called the Queen Mary. The Queen Mary had three big metal stacks for burning fuel and all that. And when they brought it in, it had transported thousands and thousands of passengers, and they got this idea, let's bring it back, restore it, and then we're going to make it. And now I think you can go and tour. I looked it up online. You can take tours. They have a hotel there. They have a restaurant. You can go to the Queen Mary and stay there, eat there, do all these things. But when they were restoring it, they said, hey, we're going to take down these three stacks and we're going to restore, repaint everything. All right. There was 3/4-inch steel stacks that they made. When they went to pull those off, there was no metal remaining. There was only 30 coats of paint. That's it. There was 30 coats of paint on the outside. Inside, there was no more metal. They were running the boat, and the pipes were going up. There was no metal there anymore. There was only paint. You know what? That's just like a lot of Christians. Oh, they got all the coating on the outside. But on the inside, what does Jesus say? They're full of dead men's bones. You need to guard against being a fundamental Pharisee. Make sure the inside matches the outside. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness. I pray that you'd bless. Thank you for just the time that we can gather around the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us to be real. Help us to be strong. Help us to grow, Lord, so that we can become better Christians for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, would stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed, standing together. And we're going to just take a moment, have an invitation. God's dealing with your heart. You need to come and deal with it. But make sure that you take the appropriate actions. You take time. and let God change you from the inside out. As the instruments play, if God's dealt with your heart, please come.